But without any further ado, our pal from Las Vegas, the wizard himself, from toddstake.com and the Bet the Board podcast, we say a very good morning because he's in Las Vegas to Todd Furman. Hey, Todd, how are you?
My best bet today, guys, was the Baltimore Ravens team total over 3.5, but I don't think I'm going to be
able to. It's a tough beat, Todd. That would be a tough one to take.
I figured that was going to be an opportunity for stealing, but sometime in this business, the best laid plans don't come to fruition. But let me tell you, this is a performance that we thought Baltimore could be a little bit flat. Didn't think they would have the worst loss in franchise history. Little to say, we'll probably have to circle the wagons and back the Ravens next Sunday against the Steelers. But obviously getting ahead of ourselves here.
Todd, how is it in Vegas for that 6:30 a.m. start? Is there a lot of people watching that game there?
It's exactly as you'd expect. Nobody really paying much attention to it. Very similar to the Ravens' approach to getting themselves prepared. But books did open a little bit early, giving people about a half-hour window to try and get those wagers in. And a little bit of parlay liability to a game like this, obviously blown up with most of the folks coming in on Baltimore. At about a 60-40 clip, there was professional money indeed on Jacksonville. That was aptly rewarded.
Is this performance enough to make you want to fear the cat?
There's a lot to think about when it comes to these London games, guys. And apparently Jacksonville, we have to start factoring in a little bit of a home field advantage, not necessarily because of the crowd atmosphere, but more so because of their preparation and their level of familiarity. But no, Steve, I'm not officially signing off on the Jaguars as a viable threat to win the AFC yet.
Okay, Todd. And Todd, I think that I realized from my biblical readings that one of the signs of the apocalypse with the Cleveland Browns is a favorite on the road. Do you agree with that statement?
First time it's happened since 2014, and if we want symmetry in radio, it happened against the Jacksonville Jaguars, where they were 3.5-point road chalk, lost that game outright. But this is a little bit of a different situation. First time, too, Cleveland will be favored in a game since 2015. I think this is more an indictment of where Indianapolis is right now as a franchise than it is a reflection of Cleveland on the ascent. This total, though, over money, very real, gentlemen, opened at 41, out to 42. I think we could see these teams get to at least 20 points and put it comfortably over that number.
Do you go with the theory that I was mentioning earlier when bad teams collide? I think we saw that on Thursday night as well. Go over?
Usually it is a good rule of thumb, especially when they're not division rivals, so you don't have that level of familiarity. So I would echo those same sentiments completely. Now, where the big plays come from, I'm not quite sure. But at the same time, if you'd have told me we saw 80 points scored on Thursday night, I probably would have laughed at you the same way if you told me the Baltimore Ravens can't go over 3.5.
Todd, and I'm kind of dropping a little bit of a hint here. I know our picks are in about 10 minutes time, but I'm really liking the Lions plus the points at home against a very good Falcons team. And one of the main reasons is the Falcons are a completely different team when they're on the road. Are you buying that or are you selling that right now as I present?
If Detroit had been on regular rest, I'd be right there with you, David, making a case for the Lions as 3-point home underdogs, especially knowing that Atlanta will be without the services of Vic Beasley, and their inability to rush the pass are going to change a lot of what they can do in the secondary. But the one thing to factor in, while Atlanta is a different team on the road than they are at home, this is still a game being played indoors on a quick track, so it's not the change of surface that we've grown accustomed to. When Atlanta goes on grass, they have to play a little bit slower. At 3.5, it would have been enough to get me to back Detroit. At 3, where the number sits, I think it's right where it has to be. The hard part I have is really trying to make a strong case for the Lions winning their third straight game outright as an underdog. Not exactly a long-term recipe for success in this league.
Todd Furman of the Bet the Board podcast and, of course, ToddStake.com joining us here on Sports Interactions Inside the Lines along the Sportsnet Radio Network. Todd, just sticking on this game real quick. To me, I don't know if I can buy what the Lions are selling right now. They beat a Cardinals team, the game they should have lost. If David Johnson doesn't break his wrist, all of a sudden their offense goes south in a hurry. Detroit storms back, wins that game in week one. Week two against a very putrid Giants offense. We all thought the Giants are one of the better teams in the NFC. They've looked horrible offensively. And if it wasn't for that punt return, that score was a lot closer of a game than I think when you look at that game, than what it appeared to be at the end. Have the Lions really impressed you through 2 weeks, or they're just a mirage and Matthew Stafford's just playing his ass off right now through 2 weeks?
I think there's going to be opportunities to go against the Lions, but a team playing with confidence, showing balance offensively, that's my main takeaway from Detroit, is that Matthew Stafford threw for less than 130 yards, and the Lions were still able to win that game comfortably. I think when you look at the stat sheet for anybody who watched Monday night, you want to put an asterisk by it because the Lions never really looked threatened by the Giants, so it didn't make sense to open up the playbook. They appeared very comfortable throughout the second half. running the football with Ameer Abdullah and Theo Riddick. And if they can maintain that balance, it gives Matthew Stafford a little bit more opportunity to sit back there, survey the field. I don't love Detroit's receiver options here, but I think at the same time against Atlanta, if he has time to throw, they'll be able to find some openings. The one matchup to look at on the other side of the ball, Darius Slay should have some success, at least slowing down Julio Jones. For folks in daily fantasy or fantasy, may want to look at some of those secondary options for the Falcons as deep sleepers.
Todd, we hear the word fish numbers, fish lines, lines that people will say, well, the books just are begging you to bet that one side or the other. Denver minus, well, we're seeing -3.5 now. We know this is going to be the biggest decision for the books. Open 2.5, saw tons of money at 3. Looks like they really resisted going to the 3.5, but they couldn't help but do so now. This number's low. Is there, two-part question, is there such a thing as a fish number, and would this be one of them?
If there was a such thing as a fish number, Steve, I think all of us would be able to retire if we were able to sniff that out. So I always get worried for folks to try and gravitate, not singling you guys out, but they want to call it a trap. That almost implies that books know something that nobody else knows about a particular game. This number, though, fascinating for a number of reasons, because had this game been played week 2, Buffalo would have been a one-point favorite here. So you're seeing a market shift in the line. The problem being for sports books is it's been a steady flow of public action coming in on Denver, aided by some professional money that was very real that came in on Denver -1 and even -2 when this number opened. So until this price starts to tick out till 3.5, 4, books aren't going to see a whole lot of resistance, but you have to overreact early in the season when Denver looks like the greatest thing since sliced bread against the Dallas Cowboys. Meanwhile, Buffalo musters a grand total of 3 points on the road against Carolina. But situationally speaking, things working against Denver, it is the ultimate sandwich, knowing that they have a massive game next weekend looming against the Oakland Raiders. It's just a question of how much faith you have in Tyrod Taylor with a banged-up Buffalo offensive line.
All good reasons why I'm staying away from that game. We talked on Wednesday, and you had suggested that you felt that sharp money could be coming in on Chicago if that number was at 7, if they're going to wait to see where it got to. We did see 7.5s this morning. Sports Interaction currently at 7.5. There's a lot of books in the Don Best screen at 7. Did the sharp money ever come in? Was that them taking the 7.5, and where do you stand on that game?
It did come in, and this is one of those prototypical examples of where you have professional money on the dog and you have recreational money coming in on the favorite. And while you hate to make a political statement in this type of scenario, the Steelers announcement coming that they're going to stay in the locker room, you know, maybe not the best karma when you go into a building named Soldier Field and you're not going to come out and support the armed forces here in the U.S. But I digress there. I think when you look at this particular game, it's as much a reflection of Pittsburgh's struggles when they go away from home, especially laying a touchdown. The Bears are going to have the services of Jordan Howard. How effective he'll be remains to be seen. But I think at the same time, this is a good buy-low opportunity for a Bears team that was embarrassed last weekend. Mike Glennon struggled against his former offensive coordinator. I think Tariq Cohen, the player to watch, he could have a big day catching balls out of the backfield, especially if the Steelers are focused on things off the field instead of what will be taking place on.
One thing I've known from the many years I've known Todd Furman, that is the most political statement you will ever get out of him.
You know, I decided to make a wisecrack on social media earlier this morning, and some people took it as a political statement, but apparently saying that the ultimate sign of solidarity was what the Ravens did by not showing up to a game instead of not showing up to the national anthem speaks volumes about how Baltimore feels.
No, that is true.
Todd, I'm offended. I don't know why. I just am. Just so you know.
It's a right to be offended. These days down here in the States, everybody wants to get offended about everything. I said, can't we just go back to playing football and let people argue about what side they're going to bet in a game instead of all the nonsense that takes place off the field?
Todd, what's making your card today as we are about 47 minutes away from kickoff?
For me, it is going to be the Los Angeles Chargers. I was able to grab some 3.5 earlier in the week here in this particular spot. I don't love the fact that it's a coaching mismatch that drastically favors Andy Reid against Anthony Lynn, but when you look at the Chargers' advanced metrics, at least through 2 games, yards per play, they're one of the top 5 teams in the league, and if you can get an underdog like that with some of the firepower that they bring to the table, I think this is a big, fat, and happy scenario for Kansas City where they started off well. They're going to get the best ever from the Chargers, and assuming that there isn't some weird things that happen late in the game, maybe they're down by 1, they miss a field goal late, it still allows us to cash a ticket.
Todd, the Sunday night game, to me, it seems like everybody and their grandmother is betting the Oakland Raiders tonight. Can you just justify people taking the other side tonight, the Redskins, like I think my pal Steve Rapp's going to do sitting across from me?
I love to make a case for a dog, especially against massive public support, but I won't do it here with the Washington Redskins. Now, I'm not going to push to make Oakland a play, but when the Redskins announce that they're going to be without Jordan Reed, who is their primary threat across the middle, Rob Kelly probably going to be out as well, meaning Samaje Perine, who isn't a threat to catch the ball out of the backfield, will be their main ball carrier. And when you look at the travel situation, no different for either of these teams. The Redskins had to travel across the country last week. I know Oakland has Denver lurking in the distance, but this is a spot I would not want to be a bookmaker because I think you're going to get a ton of support for Oakland. And while you saw a little bit of support for the Redskins, I can't make a case to try and back them here, only catching three in their own building.
Todd Furman of ToddsTake.com and the Bet the Board podcast. Todd, always fun. Talk to you next week, pal. Best of luck.
Always a pleasure, boys. Keep up the good work.